You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It finally came easy. And for the 14th time in the last 16 games, we have another happy post-game episode for you. And this particular win even clinches a playoff spot for the Rockets, who are now in the NBA's big dance for the 7th consecutive season. With that joyous note, welcome in to Sunday night's post-game recap of the Rockets' victory over the New Orleans Pelicans. This is Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on everything Houston Rockets basketball. And I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent for Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Tonight's show is sponsored by our friends over at Wyze. Wyze, that's W-Y-Z-E, is the indoor camera that does it all. Head on over to wyze.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price on all of their top-notch camera equipment. Again, that's wyze.com/locked. As far as routes go, Sunday nights for the Rockets in New Orleans against the Pelicans was relatively pedestrian. The Rockets were up by 20, not even 15 minutes into the game. They were largely in cruise control from that point forward. None of the starters even had to play 30 minutes. James Harden, the MVP, he stayed hot, 28 points, 4 assists, better than 50% shooting overall, 10 of 19, and for a third straight game, 50% or better on his threes. Chris Paul, 10 points, 13 assists, a team best plus 20. PJ Tucker, a game after not scoring in Friday's big comeback, late comeback at least, over the Spurs, made all three of his three-pointers, had 11 points. But the key takeaway for the Rockets tonight, when Eric Gordon is right, that's what takes them from a good team to a lethal team. And after he didn't play Wednesday in Memphis, the loss, he was resting on night two of a road back-to-back, and then he came back on Friday against the Spurs, but wasn't quite himself, 4 of 13 from the field. To see Eric then go 6 of 12 overall, but 6 of 11, better than 50% from behind the three-point arc, that's what we have seen this month of March, which is when the Rockets have, not coincidentally, had their most sustained stretch of excellent basketball this season. They now at 47-27 are 20 games over 500 for the first time all year, and now having won 14 of their last 16 basketball games, this is by far their top streak of the season. They're tied with the Blazers in the loss column this time of year. That's what to focus on, because when you have teams that are in the playoff mix, like the Rockets, the Blazers, the Jazz, the Spurs, the Thunder, the Clippers, it's all about the loss column. These teams are going to win more than they lose, especially in the West. So if one team has played a game or two more than the others or less, that's not really the big deal. As far as the loss column is concerned, Rockets, they are keeping pace with the Blazers at 27 for the number 3 spot, effectively tied for that in the West. And then they are 3 games up on all of their competition as far as those teams in the 5-8 mix that we just mentioned for holding on to a top 4 seed and getting home court advantage in at least the first round. As far as the seedings are concerned, it's actually not clear, especially after Golden State lost on Saturday night at home against Dallas. They were just crushed in that game, which drops them into a tie in the loss column with the Denver Nuggets. So it's very conceivable that Denver could jump Golden State for the 1 seed. If that's the case, I personally think I would prefer the 4 rather than the 3, because both the 3 and the 4 would have home court advantage in the first round. But as far as the Rockets are concerned, I think that matchup with Denver is much more beneficial to them, and you get the added bonus of putting some more mileage, whoever it is in that 3-6 lineup that ends up winning, that challenges Golden State, presumably, in round 2. So I don't really know that the 3 seed versus the 4 is all that important. It could be. You certainly want to win so that you have options. But I think the thing that is indisputably important is retaining a top 4 seed and getting home court advantage in the first round. That's what this game was so huge towards, because now the Rockets are through 74 games and now have a 3-game lead in the loss column, 27 for Houston, 30 for their closest competitors. It would be a real long shot, even with the schedule getting more difficult. They're at Milwaukee, the MVP showdown between Harden and Giannis on Tuesday. They host the aforementioned Denver Nuggets on Thursday. Hopefully, the Rockets, they have not lost to the Nuggets with Capella in the last nearly 3 seasons. So with him back, the 1 game Denver took from Houston this year was when Capella was out. with his thumb surgery. Should also mention Capella tonight, his second straight huge rebounding game, 17 in just 24 minutes. So he has responded very well since getting outplayed by Valanciunas last Wednesday. As far as the standings go, to sum up, the Rockets, they're three games up in the loss column. And even though the next five are going to be more difficult, again, Milwaukee, Denver, a home and home with Sacramento, and then at the Clippers on night two of a road back-to-back, three games with eight to play is a lot. So the Rockets knew going in that they would give themselves the buffer that they needed in all likelihood. And even if they shed a couple of games in these next five, you do have home games the 5th and the 7th of April against the Knicks and the Suns, tanking teams that you should have a pretty huge advantage on talent-wise. So really, the Rockets, they couldn't afford, especially after letting the Memphis one slip, through the scheduling factors, night two of a road back-to-back, 3-4, those types of things. Regardless, you were 1 point away. One bucket anywhere could have flipped it. It was disappointing. So to see the Rockets respond from that to get a big win Friday over the Spurs, that wasn't always pretty. You played well in the first half because Harden was nuts. Hit a lull in the third. The Spurs made their runs. And then, of course, you had the 13-2 James Harden run down the stretch, 61 to get a win over a hot Spurs team that had won 9 of 10. Sunday in New Orleans, it was simply get the win by any means necessary. And the Rockets did what they need to do against lesser teams, which is take the life out of the gym early. The Pelicans, they did play Anthony Davis. They did not play Drew Holiday. So it was a game in which, especially with Anthony Davis, you know they're not especially motivated. That's the word I would go. You could see Davis, and has been the case really since his trade demand in late January, just going through the motions at times. Rockets, as long as they took the game seriously, and they did, there was no Drew Holiday light a spark for the Pelicans, which he did the one time they beat Houston this calendar year of 2019. That was in late January, a stunning home loss. They did not have his spark tonight, or it's just his defensive ability to guard James Harden or Eric Gordon. The Rockets took care of business early, and that's the biggest thing. You know, you think back to these recent games when the schedule has somewhat eased up. They've let a few teams like Phoenix, Minnesota, Atlanta hang around and believe, and that made things a little bit tougher than it needed to be. Friday, I loved how they came out against San Antonio. The difference is San Antonio is good enough that they're eventually going to make runs, and they did. So even though Houston got a 15-point lead at the break, the Spurs are too good not to make runs. As far as the Pelicans, they're not. You go and get a 20-point lead less than 15 minutes into the game at the 9-something minute mark in the second quarter, they're probably going to fade. And that's what the Rockets, they took the game seriously from the outset. It might have been their most uneventful win of the season. And at this point of the year, you're trying just to get to the playoffs and hold on, in their case, to a top three, top four seed for home court advantage. It was the kind of pedestrian win that you want to see. And the biggest variable, getting back to the point, Eric Gordon. 6 of 11 from three. He entered shooting 45% in March, a month in which the Rockets have been so dominant. Again, they've won 14 of their last 16 games, and he actually improved upon that tonight, going 6 of 11, better than 50%. When he is right, again, he didn't play the loss in Memphis and Friday against San Antonio. I don't know if he was rusty or just an off game, whatever it was, but he shot just 4 of 13. The point is, when you have him go better than 50% from three, that's what takes the Rockets from pretty good to great. He is that variable. And what was most impressive in this game, the 113-90 win by the Rockets in New Orleans, Gordon actually gave us a scare early. He rolled his ankle in that first quarter, briefly went to the locker room. Oh, and he ended up scoring, I believe, 12 points in the quarter on 4 of 6 from three. Some of us joke that maybe he should roll his ankle every game. Fortunately, this one did not appear to be a big deal. He came back into the game. He continued to shoot very well. And it just reflects what we've said all season long, especially in this recent month, when things were poorly or going poorly. And that's when the Rockets got off to that 11-14 start, and really all the way to the All-Star break, we're not even close to the form that we expected. That was the Eric Gordon shooting the low 30s, about 32% from three. The version in March that we've had that entered today shooting nearly 46% from three and then improved upon that against the Pelicans, that's when the Rockets go next level. So even with James Harden having 28 again, yet again above 50% from three, Chris Paul double-double, 10 and 13, plus 20, Clint Capella 17 rebounds in just 24 minutes. As far as individuals, the story is Eric Gordon, because when he does that all in just 21 minutes plus 16, that's when the Rockets go from good to great. He is that variable, and you combine that with the Rockets taking a lesser team seriously as they should and playing from in front, and you get a result, again, 113-90, that reflects the enormous gap between these two teams. The Rockets improving to 47-27, and the Pelicans falling to 31-44. We'll continue our recap momentarily, but for now, I do want to pause and acknowledge our awesome sponsors over at Wise, because they're the folks responsible for bringing you today's show here at Locked On Rockets. And Wise, that's W-Y-Z-E, they're the indoor camera that does it all. Their mission is to bring amazing smart home products and make them accessible to everyone, which they do since their camera footage can be accessed from anywhere via your mobile phone. Wise is packaged with premium features, allowing users to see everything they need for only $20. There's no subscription required, it can work with Alexa, and there's free rolling 14-day cloud storage. So how does it work? The camera runs 1080p in full HD, which means the images are so clear you won't miss a thing. You can connect with life as it unfolds, all in sharp focus. It also comes with night vision and two-way audio. As far as potential applications, you can check on your home anytime with the Wise app's live stream, which comes with an 8x digital zoom. If you're worried about kids or pets, you can watch them. You can even keep tabs on contractors and their work in your home or outside your home with their time-lapse feature. You want more? They've got that too. Because for just $10 extra, the Wise Cam Pan gives you 360-degree coverage in under 3 seconds, and it automatically detects, tags, and tracks motion within its field of view. After all, since life moves fast, your camera should too. To check out all of their products, just go to wise.com/locked. That's WYZE.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price. Jumping back into the program, Sunday night's recap of the 113-90 victory posted by the Rockets in New Orleans. It's their 14th win in the last 16 games, improves Houston to 47-27 on the year, their high water mark at 20 games over 500. It was very much a ho-hum win. The Pelicans, even with Anthony Davis, quote-unquote, playing, mostly just going through the motions, I would say, Houston's clearly the better team. But unlike some recent games where the Rockets haven't always taken it seriously from the outset of late and certainly throughout the season, but even lately, Phoenix, Atlanta, Minnesota, games where lesser teams kind of hung around, that wasn't the case. Rockets were up by 20 less than 15 minutes into the game and went into cruise control. We spent the first segment largely discussing Eric Gordon, who in just 21 minutes rolled an ankle early, but didn't matter. In those 21 minutes, shot better than 50% from three, 6 of 11, 18 points overall, plus 16 in just 21 minutes. It was yet another game in which the clear takeaway is that when Eric Gordon is right, that's when the Rockets go from good to great. The guy who's been great all along, though, here in segment two of our usual 3 points recap, let's discuss James Harden. 28 points. Thankfully, his workload was not the same as it was the last two games when he scored 118 points combined, 57 in the one-point loss against Memphis, then followed up with 61 in the thrilling come-from-behind win over the Spurs. It wasn't needed tonight, thankfully. I think it's clear that even James Harden, he is a human being. At some point, there is going to be a cumulative toll on his body if you ask him to do that every single game. And I think we also know going into Tuesday, the showdown, it's big for the Rockets because it's the toughest team on paper. Actually, it's the team with the best record in the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks, that's left on their schedule and it's on the road. Beyond that, it's the guy in some order, one and two in the MVP voting, Giannis and James Harden. So you know James is going to want to give everything he has into that game. He is going to want to make a statement. So between that dynamic and the fact that it's so big for the Rockets in the standings, and that he has been leaned on so heavily the last two games, he needed to have a night that he could take it easy. And thankfully, that is exactly what happened, because played not even 30 minutes, 29, and had his 28 points. He did not give 30, although the 30-point streak was snapped a while back, so I'm not sure that's that big of a deal anymore. And for James, it never was, because it's always, always been about the winning for one James Harden, and that's what the Rockets got done tonight. In my opinion, it was the best of all worlds. Obviously, there was no injury. That's always the biggest thing, especially because his neck, his wrist, he's been banged up a lot of late. He didn't have to take a lot of contact, only went to the free throw line two times of his 19 shots, 12 are behind the three-point arc. And when the Rockets are truly clicking, I don't think James wants to take all that contact. He knows the physical toll that puts his body through, especially when he has the neck, the wrist, the various injuries. It's just at times, especially against good defenses like the Spurs, you're going to have to go inside to either get the free throws or to make the floaters, because the game isn't always going to come easy from the perimeter. Tonight against the Pelicans, a lesser team, it did. And so James didn't have to put his body through all that much of a physical toll. That was the biggest thing. And Yeah, he had 28 points plus 14. So clearly he still gave the Rockets what they needed from a scoring perspective. Their leading scorer by far in the game. Second place was Gordon with 18. Beyond that, though, in addition to simply staying healthy, if there's one thing I think that you would want to see, it's did he stay hot? And he did. He didn't even take that much of a pounding. He didn't have to make that many moves. A lot of his threes were of the step back variety, which means kind of certainly long range. And even if the defense isn't great, there's a low probability of success simply based on the nature of the shots. So to see him shoot 50% or better from three for a third straight game, even if he wasn't fully committed, and again, it's not that he didn't take the game seriously, he did. No, it's just the Rockets and James individually knowing that you have to be smart after the last two games, what he's had to do. And then with Giannis and Denver looming on Tuesday and Thursday of this week, yeah, you need to be smart about how you use your body. On top of not being injured and getting through under 30 minutes, the Rockets getting the win, to then still shoot that well, even without putting that much of a toll on your body, that's the cherry on top of the sundae. Because again, it's his third straight game shooting 50% or better from the three-point arc. And for a guy who, since the All-Star break, entering this three-game stretch, he was below 30% since the All-Star break. And a lot of it is randomness, but some of it, I'm sure, is correlated with first the wrist injury and then recently the neck. Or I guess initially it was the neck, then it was the wrist, then it was the neck again after re-aggravated in that Phoenix game with the shot he took on a drive by DeAndre Ayton. Well, to see on top of being able to manage his body correctly, that in addition to all of that, the Rockets getting the win, yada, yada, that he still shot the ball well and still feels good, that's the best of all worlds. Because I do think there is something to the idea of continuity and being in rhythm. He's going to keep shooting. That's his mentality. But he's human. Any player is going to feel better going into the next game if they've been making shots. That's just how it works. You get into rhythm. You feel good. Anybody who's played basketball knows the feeling they get when the ball is going in from three at a 50% or better rate. So to see the Rockets going into this difficult stretch with Harden this hot, does it guarantee success? No, of course not. But does it give them the best chance to succeed and keep their lead? Now three games for home court advantage in the first round and tied in the loss column at 27 with Portland for the number three spot. Does it put them in the best position possible? Yeah, in my opinion, it does. There are no guarantees, but as far as James Harden, health, his form, everything you could possibly ask for, this was what you wanted to see from your MVP. Even if it wasn't as memorable as what happened against the Grizzlies and the Spurs last week, that's okay. We've had enough heart attack games for a while. For once, the Rockets needed it to come easy, and that's what it did in Sunday's 113-90 win in New Orleans on the road, their 14th of 16 this time over the hosting Pelicans. And remember, to get this show every day, subscribe to Locked On Rockets on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlist and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Rockets. Jumping back in to Sunday evening's recap, this the third and final segment of our usual 30-point show. Tonight, breaking down the 113-90 win the Rockets had over the host New Orleans Pelicans. It's Houston's 14th in the last 16 games, and it keeps them tied for the number three spot in the loss column, at least. Houston now at 47-27. That's their high water mark at 20 games over 500. They're tied for number three spot in the West at 27 losses with the Blazers, and they are three games up on their closest competition, the teams in that 5-8 range, as far as anyone that could jump them for a top four seed and home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs, which at this point might be the most important thing now that Denver and Golden State are suddenly tied in the loss column at the top of the Western Conference. So now it's no longer clear who's going to be the number one out West following the Warriors' stunning blowout loss Saturday night against the Dallas Mavericks of all teams. So as far as the Rockets storyline on Sunday, the main story was how easy it was. It was nice to cruise to a win for once. No drama. Even the wins of late, they've at least kind of played with their food for a half. Tonight, they didn't. They were up by 20, not even 15 minutes into the game. Ended up winning by 23. No one other than Daniel House Jr. off the bench played 30 minutes. So you were able to manage the mileage going into a tough five-game stretch coming up. The Bucks, the Nuggets, home and home with the Kings. Then Clippers, night two of a road back-to-back. So at best, you're looking at, in the case of the two Kings games, and one of those is on the road, mediocre opponents, 3 of the 5 pretty damn good teams, and one of those on night two of a road back-to-back, and the other on the road against Milwaukee, the team with by far the best record in the NBA. So the Rockets needed to take care of business, and they got it. Obviously, Eric Gordon, 6 of 11 on threes in just 21 minutes, 18 points. To me, he's your key story, because throughout March, which has been largely when the Rockets have had this 14 of 16 current stretch, when Eric Gordon is right, the Rockets are at their best. Even with James Harden doing what he does, there's been stretches this year where James Harden has been great and the Rockets have only been pretty good. It's Eric Gordon that takes them from good to great. That said, James Harden, as we discussed in segment two, 28 points on, again, 50% or better from three-point range tonight, 6 of 12, third straight game, 50% or better behind the arc, better than 50% overall, 10 of 19 from the field. Beyond those two, the key thing that I take out of it is confidence building. Chris Paul had 10 and 13. He was a team best plus 20 in the plus minus. If there's one thing you could nitpick, is that he started 1 of 8. Well, he made 3 of his last 4 shots in the fourth quarter. He was the one guy that I was going to say I was a little worried about because he wasn't shooting the ball very well. And then he got going in the fourth quarter, also had 5 steals. And as mentioned, the plus 20 led the entire Rockets team. So even if he was just 1 of 7 from 3, it wasn't like he looked injured. He wasn't playing well. No, 13 assists, 5 steals, and then making 3 of his final 4 shots. Yeah, I'd say he's feeling just fine. Beyond that, though, Clint Capella, we've touched on him a lot this month, and not always in a positive sense, because guys like DeAndre Ayton, Boogie Cousins, Jonas Valanciunas have been too much of a presence for him physically. Tonight, he had 17 boards in 24 minutes, and that follows up, but he had 16 on Friday in that big late comeback, which included a late block from Capella in the final minute to seal the deal against the Spurs. So see Capella gets 17 rebounds in 24 minutes. That's the tough Clint Capella that we have become accustomed to seeing mostly throughout the year. Hasn't always been there since the thumb surgery, but with more reps, you hope he gets back to the form he was at before the surgery in December and January. That's when he was really good. Tonight, I know the competition isn't great, but 17 boards in 24 minutes, the other team having Anthony Davis, not going to complain about that at all. As far as the other role players, PJ Tucker, 11 points, plus 13, 3 of 3 from behind the arc. I really think he's the one guy who you shouldn't worry about who the opponent is, because Friday against the Spurs, he was scoreless, and with PJ, because he's your third or fourth option, a lot of the games that he has struggled of late, his looks have been wide open. Nobody is game planning to take away PJ Tucker as an offensive player. So many times, even if the competition is better, PJ is getting the same looks that he gets against lesser competition. It's just, can he make them? So even though the opponent isn't good, I do think it's confidence building, and hopefully reflects that he's feeling good to see PJ Tucker make all 3 of his 3-pointers. Also helps PJ, a guy who it's so easy to overextend because his skills defensively are so unique, only having to play him 26 minutes. Also had 2 steals in those 26 minutes. That should play pretty well for the Rockets down the road, especially entering a 5-game stretch with Giannis on Tuesday, the Nuggets, and all their diverse offensive players. On Thursday, you're probably going to need to lean on Tucker a lot. So it helps that A, he's shooting well going into that stretch and feeling good about his stroke. And B, you didn't have to really extend him from a minute standpoint either. As far as the rotation, Kenneth Faried made his return, had a double-double, 11 and 10 off the bench in 24 minutes, also had a couple of blocks. I don't think it really tells you that much in terms of who played tonight and who didn't on Friday. It's 2 consecutive games in which the Rockets, they had all 11 potential rotation players healthy. On Friday night, it was Kenneth Faried and Austin Rivers who didn't play. Tonight, it was Nene and Gerald Green. I don't know that we really learned anything tonight in terms of the players who did play and the players who didn't. Faried had 11 and 11, but I think the concern with Faried, this was a bouncy Pelicans team, and that's where his athleticism plays well. Where you worry about with Faried versus Nene, the backup 5 are teams that are a bit more savvy and ball movement oriented than the Pelicans. Would they be able to take advantage of Faried's deficiencies on the defensive end? I think it's great that Faried's healthy. That's been part of the reason why he hasn't played all that much of late. As far as will he be in the playoff rotation, and if so, how much? It's just kind of a question of his athleticism and his rebounding versus his deficiencies, his awareness defensively. Some of it's going to depend on the matchup. And I think we'll learn, assuming health, a bit more about Faried over the next 5 games against upper echelon competition. Tonight, I think the biggest takeaway is just nice to see him out there. I don't know beyond that, and seeing that he's finally feeling good, which is nice to see. He's a great guy. I don't know that we take too much out of it other than, sure, it's nice to see him have a good game. Austin Rivers shot just 3 of 10, but he was a plus 10. At this point with Rivers, I think we know what he provides. His unique skill set is, especially with the quick, twitchy guards that Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook type players, even relative to Shumpert, Rivers is the most flexible in terms of denying dribble penetration. he's probably going to play. You'd like to see him get confident from three before the playoffs. That didn't happen tonight. 0-4. Unfortunately, throughout his Rockets tenure, he's not been nearly the 38% shooter dead-eye from three that he was a year ago. I'd like to see that get going. But defensively, we saw in spurts tonight, there's a reason why Rivers in his 25 minutes was plus 10. And in the playoffs, he's probably going to play unless the matchup is just an extreme one for where, for whatever reason, there isn't that kind of quick, twitchy guard. But in the West, Curry, Westbrook, Damian Lillard, there's so many of those. I think Rivers is ultimately going to play. And my guess is that they're playing the other backcourt options, conceivably Shumpert in both of these games, Gerald Green on Friday to determine who plays along with him. And the final guy in that mix could be Daniel House in terms of flexible wing defenders. And to me, it was especially good to see House 5 of 6 overall, 14 points, 6 boards, 4 of his 5 from three, because, boy, Friday was not pretty for House at all. He had the crushing turnover in clutch time, which almost cost the Rockets the game before Harden rescued them. He also had a bad turnover late in Memphis. He had just 1 point against the Spurs on 0 of 4 shooting. And I don't know that it's fair to say that House did anything particularly discouraging. I think a lot of it's just layoff. When you haven't played NBA basketball for 2 months, it's tough to jump back in immediately and have a huge impact, especially against a team as disciplined as the Spurs. What you do always have to worry about with a player as young as House and not having a particularly long track record of success is, do they get down on themselves if they have a bad game or two? Because even though House had played well before, there were no expectations. Now there is something different playing with the weight of expectations and, at least to a small degree, trying to earn a playoff rotation spot. I think it's highly likely that House, based on his gifts, will be in the Rockets playoff rotation. But I certainly don't think it's a given. When you talk about the guys he's competing with, Shumpert, Gerald Green, Austin Rivers, these are accomplished NBA players. I think the odds are that Daniel House gets one of those spots as far as the perimeter defenders, but it's not 100%. He's going to have to play well and execute and continue to do what he's done this season long. So even though it's the Pelicans, I know it's a lesser opponent, but it's nice after he had a bad showing on Friday and at least a little bit looked rattled. That turnover of the game was largely unforced. You could see Harden just livid with him, to see House the very next night come out, execute 14-6, 4-5 from three, plus 16. It's a confidence builder, or at the very least, it's a confidence maintainer. I don't know how much you say, wow, we beat up on the Pelicans, that's great, but at least it gets the bad taste out of his mouth for what he did against the Spurs. Now you get a clean slate, and then starting Tuesday in Milwaukee, the stage is going to be a lot bigger, the Bucks, the Nuggets, these next two games, and then I think we'll get a much better sense as far as the competition for the last few rotation spots, who has the leg up and who plays well against the type of opponents the Rockets are likely to see in the playoffs. As far as tonight, no huge takeaways. Biggest thing to me, they're healthy. They gain confidence for the most part, shots within. And the Rockets, a team that overall has had to put their players through way too much stress of late and throughout this season, especially with some of the injuries, they finally got the kind of easy win they needed in Sunday night's 130-90 win over the Pelicans.
Anyway, that'll do it for tonight's show. Again, the key takeaway, the Rockets, for the first time this season, they are now at their high water mark of 20 games over 500 at 47-27. It's their 14th win in the last 16 games. It keeps them tied in the loss column for the number 3 spot in the West. Although, given Golden State's slide, there are absolutely some scenarios where the Rockets would rather be the number 4 than the number 3. And most importantly of all, it keeps the Rockets the win tonight in New Orleans on the road. 3 games up in the loss column, now with only 8 games left to play over everyone competing with them for the 5-8 spots that could conceivably jump Houston for the number 4. So as far as securing at least home court advantage through the first round, this is a big one, especially because the schedule the remainder of the week in Milwaukee on Tuesday, home for Denver on Thursday, that's 2 of the top 5 teams in the league by record. It's going to get a lot more difficult, so the Rockets, they need to take care of business beforehand. And finally, tonight they did, a win in New Orleans, which they were able to mostly coast after going up by more than 20 points, less than 15 minutes into the game. They took it seriously from the outset, which against a Pelicans team that's playing out the string, especially with Anthony Davis, who is just going through the motions, and without Jrue Holiday, the Rockets were clearly the more talented team, and over the balance of 48 minutes, that was clearly shown on the floor in New Orleans on this Sunday evening. So that'll do it for tonight's episode. If you want more content before our next show, which will probably come Tuesday night after that big game, the MVP showdown between James Harden and Giannis in Milwaukee, the best place to get it will be on Twitter, because I'm on there in real time. You can follow me at Ben Dubose, and you can also follow the show at Locked On Rockets. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, our website at LockedOnRockets.com, or you can email us, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. Or, of course, you can ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, or you can inquire about how to become a potential sponsor of this rapidly growing program, just as our friends at Wyze were today. Remember, if you go to Wyze.com/locked, that's W-Y-Z-E, you can take advantage of their specials, where they've got some great deals because they are the indoor camera operator that does it all. You go there, you get the guaranteed lowest price on their top-notch camera equipment. Again, that's wyze.com/locked. As always, thanks for listening. And also remember that you can subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Rockets. So with the plugs complete, this is where we'll leave off. Again, the Rockets victorious in New Orleans. They're 20 games over 500 for the first time this year and still retain a three-game lead in the loss column. 27 for Houston, their closest competitors, at 30 with only 8 games left to play in this marathon of an 82-game NBA regular season schedule as far as seeding is concerned for a top 4 seed and home court advantage through at least the first round of the NBA playoffs. On that positive note, have a good start to your week, and please come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily commentary on everything Houston Rockets basketball.